Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in our broadcast time together. If you tune me in, by the way, of WDLP 93.1 Belding at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live, by the way, of WDLP.fm. I thank you for tuning me in. I thank you for tuning me in this morning, by the way, of Ionia, I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. I also thank you, those of you that's tuned me in, by the way, of Greenville, WGOM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. And that is something that is very special to be able to do. Some of you tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Those that tuned me in by the way of Sermon Cloud or tried, found out it didn't work, I share with you one of the ways you can get the message now, though, is by going to Pastor Ken Harger. That's my website. And then you go look across the page and you'll see storage for my radio. If you click on that, it'll take you to the storage place that I got that I'm using right now because they haven't got the other one fixed as of yet. And so we're just kind of waiting to see what's going to happen there. But you can listen to it there at any time you want to, okay? So whatever way you tuned me in, I thank you for that. And just ask that God's special blessing would be upon each and every one of you. I need to say thank you to those who give financial support. So a big thank you to Gay London this morning in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she is from Greenville. A big thank you also to Marie Vard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. She's from Dayton, Tennessee. And a big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area and to Court Warner Premium Truck and Auto located east of Belding on M44. Also, a big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music this morning. I appreciate that so much. I always like to give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church. I still attend there. I just do two of the four services because of getting up that age is pretty hard to set any longer than that. But anyway, Saturday evening we begin at 6:30. Sunday morning at Shiloh begins at 9 o'clock. And 10:45 is a contemporary service. In our Greenville campus, as the old Lutheran Church on M91, up there by the brand new McDonald's now, and Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. And whatever one of those services you wanted to attend, I would be so pleased to have you to be there. Well, we're going to talk about our message this morning. The message today is a workman approved by God. We want to be a workman approved by God. You know, sometimes we want approval of our work. I remember one time I read a story about a young man that had taken off a week at his factory and his place where he was working, and he was just wondering how they were doing. There wasn't a factory. He had a desk job. But anyway, he just called on the telephone, kind of disguised his voice a little bit. They said, I wonder if they're doing any hiring. And he mentioned the type of work that he is doing. They said, no, we're very satisfied with the worker we have, and we don't have any other openings right now. But if we do, I call back again another time and see what's happening. He got back in his car and he then enjoyed my vacation now, he said, because I know that they're satisfied with my work. Well, we need the approval of God. We want to be a workman that God's satisfied with, and I'm going to address that this morning. But before I do, we need to listen to a song, and I did something again that I did the last time. I left my clicker clear over in another desk, so I got to slide away for a few seconds. I'll keep talking. Probably be something distant, and I'll be able to share with you in just a few moments. Okay, I'm on my way back. I'm sorry about that. I don't know how I do that from time to time, but I can't stop the recorder, so I just got to be able to just do whatever we can do to make the best of whatever circumstances we have. Well, the song I want us to listen to is a song that's talking about they can't explain the changes in my life. You know, when there's changes in your life, it's going to show up. And sometimes they say, well, maybe he's got old or whatever. But when the Lord Jesus comes into our life, he makes us into a new creature. And all things become new and the old things begin to pass away. And so we want to listen to this song and trust that God's going to bless our time together very much throughout this rest of the morning without any other problems, okay? Here we go. God bless you. Love you guys and glad to be able to share with you.
They try to explain away the blessing. Some laugh and criticize. When we lift our voice in joyful singing, when we stand to testify, we sing of the cross and a great salvation. To some, it all sounds so strange. But while the doubters stand and wonder, they can't explain the change. They can't explain it, how a wretched sinner is free from the guilt of the past. Washed in the blood, a new creation, singing I'm free at last. Broken pieces put back together, homes and lives rearranged. While the doubters stand and wonder, they can't explain the change. They hear us declare the name of Jesus. We sing and clap our hands. We praise the Lord. We love to worship. We've shook off those heavy bands. Deep in my heart, there's a fire that's burning, and one I cannot contain. I can't find the words to tell it. Even I can't explain the change. They can't explain it, how a wretched sinner is free from the guilt of the past. Washed in the blood, a new creation, singing I'm free at last. Broken pieces put back together, homes and lives rearranged. While the doubters stand and wonder, they can't explain the change. Broken pieces put back together, homes and lives rearranged. While the doubters stand and wonder, they can't explain the change.
And you know, folks, one of those changes that take place in our life is a realization that we all of a sudden want to do something for God too. We just don't want to always receive. We want to be able to give back to Him for what He has done for each one of us. And so we need to realize that what God is going to speak to us this morning about is that we want to become the kind of workman that God is real satisfied with, saying, I love the way my servant does his business. And we want to be one of those people that's doing it the way God wants us to do. At least I do want to be, because I think that's the best thing we can do to show our love and respect to Him for what He has done for us. But before we do, we need to have a word of prayer. This has been a very busy week this week. When I get done tomorrow, it's Thursday that I'm putting this service together, because I had to push all the way down here to Thursday. And then I had a little difficulties with a couple of things, getting things ready to go. And so now I think we're on the right page and we're ready to go forward. But the reason it's been such a busy week is I had 5 funerals this week, and that's more than I even want to do in 1 week. And I do a lot of funerals, but that's a lot of them. Seen a lot of tears this week and a lot of sadness and things that's caused a whole lot of grief. And it's been a week of grief for many, many people. And so that's where I want to begin, as I pray for you folks in the listening audience this morning. I want to begin with those of you that may be suffering some grief. I just want to ask the Lord to comfort you, okay? Dear Father, thank you that when we come into your presence, you remind us that you're the God of all comfort. And you're able to comfort in a way that is totally different than any other way. So, Father, I just want to thank you for being the God of comfort. But I want to pray especially for those this morning that need that from you. They need comfort because this week they gave up one of their loved ones. And it's been a very difficult week for them to go through. So, Father, I want to pray that you would just be pleased to bless them in a very special way and comfort them with your strength, comfort them with peace. Dear Father, comfort them with a hug from yourself as we use the gift of memory to call back special moments we shared with our dear loved ones. I want to pray to be other people surrounding them, giving them comfort and encouragement. And you would just be with anybody in the grieving process this morning. Then, Father, I want to pray for others that's going through some difficulty this week. Some of it may be spiritual. Some of it may be physical. Some of it may be financial. I pray, Father, whatever the need is, we come to you, and even though I don't know the need, they do. And, Father, we come in faith believing for them that you would be pleased to meet the need of the listening audience according to your will. Now, Father, would you come and honor your word? We want to talk this morning about being a person that's doing some work for you, but it's doing it in such a way that we have your stamp of approval. And dear Father, I believe that's necessary because I believe that is the way we should do it for you after you've done so much for each one of us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus, to die upon that cross, to give us the freedom and the forgiveness of sin. Go with us now the rest of our study, I pray, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. To introduce this thought for this week, I want us to think of a workman that has been approved of God. I got to remind you that when Paul is speaking in the book of Timothy, when he says that, he's writing to a pastor. But what he's telling this pastor, this young pastor Timothy, what he's telling him, I think he's telling each one of us as well. And he's telling Timothy, I believe you need to teach this kind of stuff in the church so people know this is the way God wants you to do it. He wants us to become a workman for God. Good workers are not ashamed of their work. Let me do that again. Good workers are not ashamed of their work. We're living in a day and age when it's just do enough to slide by, when it's just do enough to make it look good on the outside, or it's good enough for who it's for, sometimes we heard. Well, you can't use that with God, folks. And here's what he's saying, and I want to give you several different translations of the same verse. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who needs not to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of God. Another translation says, do your best that you can to be the kind of a person that God will accept and give yourself to him. Be a worker that is not ashamed of his work. A worker who uses truth. Another translation, do your best to win approval in God's sight as a worker who is not ashamed of his work, one who correctly teaches the message of God's truth. And then here's another translation, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what it's saying to us? Over and over it's saying this word, do your best to present yourself to God. I like this here one from the Message. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as a tried and true worker who isn't ashamed to teach the word of truth correctly. Concentrate on doing your very best, for God you won't be ashamed of the work that you've done for God. Plain and simple. That's what God's saying. He's saying, you know, if you're a sinner and you've been saved by grace, and now God's going to go to work in your life, and he said he's got works he wants you to do. And this eternal God needs to be satisfied with the way that you do the work and the kind of work that you do. But one of the main things that sticks out to me in these verses is do your very best. Do the best that you're capable of doing. Don't shortchange God in any way. Give God your very best. Remember the Old Testament when they were told to bring a sheep or an animal for slaughter and so on, to cover their sins for the past year. It was to be the best that they had. It was to be the healthiest and the strongest and the best, any way that we had of checking what would be the best. That's what God wanted. And God hasn't changed. He wants us, when we come to him, to do service of worship or do service of helping other people, whatever it might be. God is saying, I want you to do your very best. He should expect that. And you should want to do that. Whatever what he's wanting us to do. So notice the word is to do your best, to present yourself. Do the best to kind of be the best kind of person you can be. Do your best to win God's approval. Do your best to present yourself to God as a tried and true worker. I think that's good to know. Man, wouldn't that make a difference in a lot of workplaces today if everybody was doing their best? Instead of just enough to get by. God's saying to you and I want you to do that. So what we're going to do the rest of this morning is we're going to look at some ways that God wants us to study so that we can do our very best. We're living in a strange time of history where we're living where it's very easy for us to realize that God is saying many, many people put God in the back burner of their life. But what I want to share something that Jesus said. This isn't something that Pastor Ken said. This is something that Jesus said when he was talking to his disciples one day. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. Wants to do the same way that Jesus has been doing it when he was here on planet Earth. Now listen to what he says to you and I today. He will do even greater things than these. Because I'm going to my Father. Jesus is reminding us he's going to help us. He's going to help us to do the best because he's going to the Father. And he's going to make some intercession for you and I that we will be able to do our very best for him. A workman approved of God, I believe, needs to be a student of God's word. We need to look at the idea of, I believe, the first step that we must have is an attitude in our heart and mind to do our very best. But then we're going to need something to help us to know how to do our very best. And in that 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. The goal is for you and I to become a workman of God, a workman for God that is approved by God and doing the things the way God wants us to do it. So what he's saying, you know, what we have to do then is to realize that what we need is to study the Word of God. I want us to remember, we're living in information age. And that's why God's saying to you and I to study. Spiritual growth comes through studying God's Word. By taking in time in God's Word, I like to think of it as the mind of God. You're going to start thinking the way God thinks. If you never spend any time in His Word, you won't know what He's thinking. You won't know what He has in mind. But it helps us tremendously to realize, in order for us to become the approved worker that we want to be before God, we must study the Word of God. In the book of Isaiah, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But listen to what he says now. But as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth sprouts, and giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word, as it goes out from my mouth, it's the word from God's mouth, as it goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty. It's going to accomplish something. but he'll accomplish the purpose for which I have sent the word out, and succeed in the things for which I have sent the word to. God is reminding us in this information age when we can seek and search for about anything we want to. I use Google a lot when I don't know how to do something that I need to fix on my car, for instance. I use Google. I use the idea of YouTube. They got pictures, videos, and people explaining what to do. I got to explain this to you because it was something strange that happened here just a short time ago. One of the headlights on my Chrysler 200, it's a 2011, and one of my headlights went out. So I was driving with one light, and I didn't really want to get stopped by the police and tell me I had to fix it because I knew I had to fix it. But, you know, I went on YouTube. Like I say, we're living in the information age. And this gentleman comes on, and he said, so I looked it right up, 2011 Chrysler, how do I change the headlight? He said, well, the headlight on a 2011 Chrysler is a lot of work to do. And then he began to show. Whole bunch of screws, about four or five on the top, some other things that just kind of plug in. Got to take them on the top. You got to take these off on the bottom. And what you do is you take the entire grill, bottom and top, off in order to get to where the headlight is. Well, I have a hard time getting down the ground, so I got my grandson to come over, and he took it to his house where he has his tools. And I think he was gone about an hour, maybe a little more than an hour, and came back and said, it's all done, Grandpa. It's all changed. Now, they changed it in 2012. You got a little door you open up underneath the fender well to change the bulb. But you know what, folks? I would have never known where to begin with that if it wasn't that we're living in the information age. But you need information about the things you need. And if you're going to be a worker for God and you want to be approved worker for God, we need some information from Him. We need to see what He wants us to do. As you study God's word and get thinking of God in your heart and your mind, God will use the rain and the snow and the refreshment as He does for the earth, as He sends the rain down. God will use this idea of His word to refresh you. What happens to the rain and earth, He's saying? It causes food to grow. God's saying, I'm going to give you some spiritual food for your life. And you need some spiritual food for your life. I'm going to give you some spiritual food that's coming right from my mouth. It's right from my heart. It's the mind of God. And this will refresh your life and cause you to produce food and cause you to have some spiritual life above and beyond what you can have within yourself. So if you're going to be a worker that's approved to God, you want God's approval for what you're going to do for Him, dear people, we gotta be a student of the Word of God. The second way that I believe we can help ourselves to become approved of God is that we need to be a student of the creation. We need to be aware of this world that we're living in. Creation to understand God's greatness. A student of creation that will come to the conclusion that beyond this beautiful creation that we have, there's a lot of design. So it reminds me there must be a designer. Study God's word to get your mind of God, to become a student of God, then it'll help you tremendously. But you study God's creation and you got to realize that what God did every time He created something, and it says that when God saw what He had finished creating, God said it was good, it was good. Now I'm not thinking about worshiping creation. I'm thinking about worshiping the Creator. I don't worship creation, but I worship the Creator and understand that the Creator has given me a beautiful world to live in. This has always been a part of my relationship with God, to get to understand that God, as I look around and see God's creation, I see that tremendous power of God. I see that tremendous design of God. I got to tell you, I'm one of my favorite places. I've had a cabin up in Kalkaska now, about 29 years in that area. I love every time I get to that cabin. I recently, about 6 years ago or 7 years ago, lost electricity. Electricity's back there now to about four of those cabins, and none of us have ever decided to put up a mercury light. And I really like that. I do try to tell you, the cabin for a place to study and enjoyments, it's, I still have my gas lights there if I want to do it that way, but I'll tell you, the biggest thing that's made a difference is my refrigerator. But I, you know, when I go up to the cabin, I like to think of what God shares in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. When I looked at your heavens, God, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, and you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals, that you care about us? As I sat under the work of the fingers of God with this great power, you know what it does, folks? It humbles me. When I'm at the cabin with no mercury lights, those stars are a lot closer on a starlit night, a moonlit night. Many times I like to go out there. I said for years when I'd go up there and do my studying, I'd go out and sit underneath the stars because I heard that Theodore Roosevelt, when he was president of the United States, used to go out and sit underneath the stars in his wheelchair. Did he have somebody come and get him? And he'd say, now I feel insignificant enough to be the president of the United States of America. And whenever I go up to cabin, I get a starlit night. I go out and just sit there and I gaze upon the stars. And after a while, I feel humble enough to say, like the psalmist said, who am I? Who am I that God should even think about me? That God should even have any thoughts towards me? The creator of this universe knows my name. And he wants me to be a worker that's approved of him. He wants me to be doing the work the way he wants me to do it. He wants me to have the mind of God as I do the work. But he wants me to see the greatness and the design of the designer in his creation. Be a student of God's creation like the little ants. I love that. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 5 and 8, God's word talking to lazy people. He said, learn a lesson from the ants, those of you that are lazy. They have no leader. They have no chief. They have no ruler. But they store up food during the summer to get ready for the winter. I love what God is teaching us, that these little ants, without a leader, without a chief, without a ruler, they know how to provide for the future. What a good lesson for each one of us to realize that we need to understand God's blessing as he works in each one of our lives in an individual way. I want to remind you now, before we listen to a song, that Jesus did the same thing. One time when Jesus was preaching his Sermon on the Mount, he said, consider the lilies of the valley. They don't toil, they don't spin, they don't do all this. And he says, I'll tell you, Solomon and all the beauty that he had in his clothing, he doesn't even come anywhere near a lily of the valley. That's here for a short time and then it's gone. God's going to take care of you. If he does that for the flowers, what do you think he's going to do for you? And then all of a sudden, I think maybe a sparrow or two flew by. And he said, I want to remind you, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap or store up away in barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than the birds? God, take care of the birds. Now, a lot of other people help God take care of the birds, and that's okay, too. But you know something, folks? He talked about his creation, and one of them, he said, they store up things. And the other one, he says, they don't store up. And yet God takes care of them. God's going to take care of us in our daily needs that we have, is what he wants us to see. You're going to be a much better worker for God when you look at the creation of God and see how God takes care of that, and how the design is that God has for the universe. And when you get that clear in your mind and heart, it's going to help you to be a good worker for God. I believe you'll be on the way to see how you can be approved of God. Because God's approved of the ants, and God's approved of the birds, and he wants to approve of you as well. Got to listen to a song, and this song says, you know what it really comes down to? It's how you're going to live your life. How are you going to live your life? You want your life to count. Just listen in, folks. Maybe you need to listen to this song for some lessons. God bless you.
Or leave things unspoken. Wear your red dress. Use your good dishes. Make a big mess and make lots of wishes. Have what you want, but want what you have. And don't spend your life looking back. Turn up the music. Turn it up loud. Take a few chances. Let it all out. 'Cause you won't regret it. Looking back from where you have been. 'Cause it's not who you knew, and it's not what you did. It's how you live. So go to the ball games and go to the ballet. Go see your folks more than just on the holidays. Kiss all your children, dance with your wife. Tell your husband you love him every night. Don't run from the truth, 'cause you can't get up. Oh no, just face it and you'll be okay. Turn up the music.
It's how you live is what she's saying to us in the song. And that's what God is saying to us. I want you to be a worker that's working for me, but I want you to be a proved worker. And I'm giving you the measurements that you can do. And you know, this idea of approval is if you satisfy God and you approve him, and he's not that hard to prove. We'll get to that in just a moment. But if you do that for God, if you do the very best you can do for God, that's all he wants. He don't want you to compare yourself with somebody else. He just wants you to do your very best. And not only does he want you to do your very best, he wants you to become a student of his word. Because God knows that when you get into the book and the book gets into you, he knows it's going to change your life. It's going to give you the mind of God. And there'll be some things you think, well, this is what I would think, but this is what God says. And then all of a sudden we realize that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It's how you live. If you live the word of God out in your daily life, that's what God is saying. He doesn't want us just to memorize words. He wants us to live what comes from his mouth. And then he says, you're going to be productive if you do that. You see, sometimes we work hard on being productive for God, and God is saying, if you get these things right in your life, you will automatically be productive for me. My word will accomplish the purpose it sends out for. And we need to know that. But then not only that, he wants us to be a student of the world that we live in. You know, one of the things that I have done, had a few times that I could do it this year, about four or five, I think it was. I remember a portion of scripture in the Old Testament after the flood that God said, I'll put a rainbow in the sky. And then when I see the rainbow, I will remember that I'm never going to destroy the entire world again by water. Oh, there'll be floods in places without a doubt. But he's never going to destroy the world as he did once with water. You know what I've done ever since I read that? And thinking about God's creation. You see a beautiful rainbow. You know what we said as humans, because we're human thinking? We said as humans, at the end of that rainbow is a pot of gold. And some people might think, I want to go find that pot of gold. But you know what I'd like to do? Every time I see a rainbow, I think God's looking at that rainbow right now. I'm looking at the same rainbow God is looking at. And that does something inside of me. God is remembering he's never going to destroy the world. And when I look at that, I am being reminded that God always keeps his promises. What a beautiful thing, folks. What a beautiful thing to get a hold of. And that's what he's saying. That's not worship in the creation. That's worship in the Creator. So we must become a student of creation. We must become a student of Jesus himself. How are you going to do the things that Jesus did and even greater things than Jesus did unless you become a student of Jesus? And remember what it said in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. You see, Jesus is the Word of God in a person. Jesus is the Word of God in a person, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten of the Father, and he was full of grace and he was full of truth. Jesus is the living Word of God in flesh. And as we hear what Jesus said and see how Jesus does it, we're learning what the Father is looking for. I tell you, folks, that's beautiful. But now let me go a step further. That's even more beautiful. I love it that Jesus one day gave the invitation to those in his time, and the same invitation was given to me, and the same invitation is given to you. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you who labor, and you're heavy laden, you're loading down. Jesus says, come to me. You're getting tired of carrying your load? I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Now listen to this. And learn from me. Jesus saying, you know what I want you to do? I want you to take your yoke upon my yoke upon you. For I am gentle and I am lowly in heart. And you know what you'll find? You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Whenever I hear a pastor or I hear some Christian worker saying how hard it is to work for God, I know they're doing it in their own energy. I got to tell you, I've many, many times put many, many hours and had energy beyond myself. You know what my Bible verse is? As your day is, so shall your strength be. That's what God is saying. To be a student of Jesus, you must yoke up with Jesus. The idea is to be connected to him. I think sometimes when Jesus was growing up, he must have worked in his father's workshop. Joseph was a carpenter. And I think sometimes they made the yokes. When Jesus said, my yoke is easy, just be keep in mind that maybe he was thinking about some of those yokes that he had made. It needed to be a perfect fit for the yoke to pull. In order to pull the load that was going to be there, if it wasn't a perfect fit, it would create unnecessary problems for the oxen. I believe his invitation to you and I is to yoke up with him, because he has designed and crafted a personal tailored yoke that just fits you and fits him to work together. It is such a thing that's going to cause the two of you to be able to do so much more than you could ever do on your own, and to pull along with Jesus to help carry the load. And you know what's going to happen? He's saying, because I've done this just the way it is for you, just personally fit for you, it's going to create beautiful harmony. You know what God's looking for in order for your work to be, for you to be a workman approved of God? He's looking for you to have harmony in doing the work God wants you to do the way God wants you to do it. But another part of this harmony has to do with being yoked with Jesus, to do the work his way. I love what Jesus said, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. There are many kinds of loads and burdens that we're carrying. Sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's spiritual, sometimes it's emotional. Jesus says, whatever it is that you're going through, I want you to know I can make it easier as you yoke up with me. Are you prepared to listen to Jesus? Because remember what he said? Come and learn of me. You know how I think he's going to teach us? As we're walking along side by side. As we're trying to do what God wants us to do, the work he wants us to do, and we're trying to do it God's way, and we're trying to do it the very best that we can, and we're going to try to do it according to the word of God. For my yoke is easy and light. You know, more of Jesus and less of myself. There's a man by the name of John the Baptist that was the forerunner of Jesus who said exactly that. He must increase and I must decrease. Become a student of Jesus. But dear folks, my time is slipping away from me, but I've got a couple other things I want to share with you. Become a student of human nature. In Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end of the way is death. What I'm thinking of is how often our humans' lives, we live life outside of God's direction. You can't expect God's blessing if you're not doing it God's way. Outside of God's teaching. If you're not really bringing forth the word of God, how can we expect God to do that? If we don't really understand the beauty of God's creation and the creator, how are we going to live in this world and not think that we can just do something halfway? We would say to ourselves, it seems right to me, but the end result is disaster. If I want to be a workman approved to God, it's very important, I believe, to treat those that I minister to with love and respect. Remember what Jesus said? I'm gentle. I'm kind. Not to try to overload at somebody. I think when you try to lord it over somebody, they resent that. And then they think you become very judgmental. A student of people, we learn by nature that we are more alike than we are different. Let me say that again. We learn by nature that we are more alike than different. There's a word that God uses for us to understand that, and it's the word all. And you know what? In Isaiah 53:6, this is what God said. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Jesus died for every one of us. God is saying we like sheep that are left to their own. They'll go astray. They'll get themselves into trouble when they don't have a shepherd. If we want to work we a workman approved of God, we need to let his son, Jesus, be our shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He wants to be the shepherd. He's trying to cause us to realize that he wants us to have the attitude he had. You know, a moment ago I mentioned the idea, if you want to work for, do some things for others, you can't do it just by trying to boss them around, so to speak. Listen to what Jesus, when it speaks about Jesus, there's a portion of scripture in Matthew and then one in Mark. When Jesus saw the crowds of people, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I need to see what Jesus sees. I need to see human nature as Jesus sees human nature. He sees a crowd of people, and he's saying they're being pushed this way and being pushed that way and being stomped on here and being stomped on there, and they're helpless to defend themselves. A sheep can't defend itself. It needs a shepherd. And God is saying once we gather that into our minds, it's going to cause us to want to help others. Because we see them, if they don't know Jesus and they don't have Jesus as a shepherd of their life, they're going through life being harassed and helpless. They need a shepherd. And then you and I should have compassion on them if we know the shepherd, to reach out and try to do what we can to help them come to know him. The apostles were gathered together one day in the book of Mark around Jesus and reported to him what they had done and what they had taught. Then, because so many of them were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But when many who saw him leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns to get there ahead of him. They went along the shore. When Jesus landed, he said, now remember, we're going to take a couple of days off. And when the boat came in, there's people everywhere. There's people everywhere. When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd. He's going to rest, but listen to what it says. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. He introduced to them to the idea of the truth of the Word of God. You know, one of my favorite portions of Scripture to remind myself that I'm just a sheep is Psalm number 23. And as all I'm going to say is the first verse of it, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know what that shall not want means? I shall not lack anything. If you want to be a workman that's approved of God, I would say to you, learn about the shepherd. Learn how to shepherd the human race. Because you know what the human race needs, whether they know it or not. They need a shepherd. But also, I just got to do one more quick thing now in our closing time. And that is, there's sometimes some things in your life and my life, it wouldn't be wrong for us to do. It wouldn't be sin for us to do. There was a time in the book of Romans where they were offering, there was others who offered some animal sacrifices, and it was done to an idol. But then some of the meat was sold in the meat market, and some of the Christians were buying some of the meat that was sold in the meat market. And there were some very young Christians, and they said, how can you do that? That was first offered to an idol. It's not good. That's not a good thing to do, to eat that meat that had been offered to an idol. And Apostle Paul went on to say, you know, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything indeed is clean, but it's wrong for anyone to make some another person stumble. So he's saying, you know what? If this weaker brother of mine is looking at me eating this food, then you know what he says? I'm not going to eat none of that food. I don't want to do anything that it causes someone else to stumble. And so God's saying, if you want to be a workman that's approved of me, don't put stumbling blocks in the way of others so that they can come to know the truth that they need to know. He also tells us in the book of Titus, he told the slaves, he said, you know what, listen to this, folks, and with this we'll close. Tell the slaves who are believers to place themselves under their master's authority in everything they do. Tell them to please their master and not to argue with them or steal from them. Instead, tell the slaves to show their masters how good and completely loyal they can be. Then they will show the beauty of the teachings about God our Savior in everything they do. And you know what he's saying? That's going to become a blessing to them. After all, God's saving kindness has appeared for the benefit of people. It trains us to avoid ungodliness. God's really trying to teach us how to be able to bring about of your life and my life that which is going to bring approval of God. But you know what else it's going to do? It's going to let God use your life to reach out to other people. Got a song in closing we're going to listen to. This simply says, consider the lilies. Consider what they go through and the beauty and all that. And God cares about that, lilies. And he really cares about you as well. This song is in closing. Consider the lilies. Thank you for letting me share with you. I've enjoyed being here this morning. I enjoy sharing some of the things from my heart that I believe God wants us to do as a person who wants to be a worker of God that is approved by him.
Consider,
God bless you this week.
Lilies, they don't toil nor spin, but there is not a king with more splendor than the but he's fed by the master who watches him grow. We have a heavenly Father above. We have a heaven.
You